The problem is Chiss military doctrine, Jedi Skywalker, Formby said. Specifically, the decree that no potential adversaries may be attacked until and unless they first act against Chiss interest within Chiss space. Mara stared at him. Can we assume the rules of engagement have been satisfied? She asked. They have been more than satisfied, Jedi Skywalker, Drask said darkly. We have been attacked without justification or mercy. A state of war now exists between the Chiss Ascendancy and the Vagari. Good, Mara said. I'd hate to go through this again just because we'd missed something in the fine print. In that case, there's just one little loose end left. That falling cable that nearly knocked Luke across the room when we first came aboard the Chaff Envoy.
I am afraid I am to blame for that incident, Jedi Skywalker, Drask confessed. When Aristocrat Chafforn Bintrano asked Admiral Park who of the New Republic would be the best warriors to have at hand against possible trouble, he recommended you and Master Skywalker. However, I did not entirely trust his tales of Jedi abilities.
So you arranged a demonstration, Mara said. Did we meet with your approval?
Let us simply say that you did not disappoint.
Drask smiled slightly. Behind Mara, the door slid open, and Evelyn and Rosemary stepped in, Presser close behind them. There you are, Mara said. How are you feeling?
I'm all right, the girl said. Is Luke all right? I mean, Master Skywalker? He saved my life, pulling me down and protecting me when the pylon exploded.
He's fine, Mara assured her, as her mother steered her to one of the other recovery tables. And as far as saving lives goes, I think the two of you come out pretty even on that scoring.
What do you mean? Rosemary asked. Evelyn didn't do anything.
She most certainly did, Mara insisted. Evelyn reactivated that turbolift trap at exactly the right moment to shoot the car down the tube just before the explosives detonated. That kind of prescient timing can only come from the Force.
But you won't tell them, will you? Rosemary pleaded. Please.
They don't like Jedi here, Mara, Fel said quietly. Rosemary looked suddenly at Mara.
You can take her with you, can't you? She asked. You can take her when you leave.
The plan was to take all of you with us, Mara told her. Unfortunately, unless we can get out of here and back to the Chaff Envoy, neither option has much of a future. Presser looked at Drask.
I take it there's still no word from your own ship?
The general shook his head.
No, and I no longer believe they will be coming.
So in other words, we should assume we're on our own, Mara concluded. Above them, the lights flickered.
Terrific,
Presser muttered. They must be getting to the generator.
What?
We're running on generator power already? Mara asked.
We are in this part of the ship, Presser said. They've already gotten into the main power conduits.
Wait a minute, Jinsler said, frowning. You have portable generators? How many?
Probably 10 that still work, Presser said.
The lights flickered again.
Better make that 9.
I never even thought to ask, Jinsler said, sounding disgusted with himself. Get them together as quickly as you can, all of them, and set them out along the corridors.
Connected to what?
Connected to anything you want, Jinsler said. Lights, heaters, anything. Just crank them up to full power and then shut down the main reactors.
It will not work, Drask declared. Even if the generators succeed in drawing the line creepers out, there are too many of them. They will quickly overload and destroy the generator's wiring, then return to the larger sources of power.
That's right, Jinsler said, if the worms actually get to them.
He turned back to Presser.
But they won't, because around each generator, you're going to create a moat of salt water. The worms will crawl in, short out their organic capacitors, and die.
I'll get the techs on it right away, Presser said, pulling out his comlink.
You've certainly had a varied career, Ambassador,
Jinsler's answer, if he made one, was lost as a sudden surge of distant emotion yanked at Mara's attention. "Something's wrong," she said, pulling her lightsaber from her belt and heading for the door. Presser got there ahead of her, slapping the release and ducking through. It was then that they heard the shouting in the distance ahead. "Come on," Presser growled, drawing his blaster as he and Mara sprinted down the corridor. They rounded a turn and nearly collided with a dozen techs and civilians running in the other direction.
"They're back," one of the techs gasped. "In the turbo lift. They're trying to break in."
One of the other peacekeepers was waiting in the darkness when they arrived at the turbolift lobby, the beam from his glow rod twitching back and forth as he fidgeted with apprehension.
"They're coming through,"
he hissed, turning the beam on one of the doors.
"What do we do?"
Presser never had a chance to answer. Almost before the words were out of the other's mouth, the door suddenly gave a violent creak and cracked a centimeter open. Three pry bars were in place before it could close again. And with another series of creaks, the door was forced open. Presser and the peacekeeper leveled their blasters at the opening, and suddenly, two combat-armored figures leapt out of the gloom, their own glow rods swinging back and forth. Behind the lights, Mara could see hand weapons tracking as they searched for targets.
"No!" Mara snapped. "Don't shoot! They're friends!"
She stepped into the middle of the standoff as a third armored figure emerged into the room. "Welcome to outbound flight, Captain Brastal Shibarku," she said.
"I thought you'd never get here."